You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good evening. It's our second Campus Sunday for the year, and it's called Campus Sunday simply because last week and this week, we're going to talk about the campuses, the students, the next generation. Our current series called Beyond, it's all about the next generation. Why it's important to talk about the next generation and why we value the next generation. We're talking about the next generation. I have a picture here of students, the next generation. If you are a student here tonight, can you just hear your shout? Mga estudyante. Okay? Or mga feeling estudyante, dala pa sa looks, murag estudyante. Joke. If you are a student, you came at the right time, this is for you. But even if you're not a student, you're already working, you're already graduated, or you're married, this topic is still for you. We all have a role to play when we talk about the next generation. And as a movement here at Victory, we value the next generation. If you've been with us for the longest time, you'll come to understand that we are dead serious in reaching out the next generation. That is why almost every week, we have something that we announce for the students. We don't just have these events for the sake of having events. We do this because we value the next generation. And if you want to know why the big deal with the students? Why do we put such an emphasis on it? We're going to talk about that. In week one, we talked about blessing the next generation. As a people, rather than put down or look down upon the next generation, because there have been labels put on them. Some people will say, ang generation karon, mga mimi, mga selfie, mga consume with themselves lang a generation. But rather than attack, put down, or look down the next generation now, we ought to speak blessing into their lives. We ought to speak life. We ought to speak encouragement. Rather than bring them down, we ought to bring them up. We ought to raise them up, build them up as the incoming generation. Now for this week, for the second week, we talk about faith beyond our lifetime. We talk about something that goes beyond our timeline here on earth. Something that goes beyond our time frame. Even though wala na tayo sa world, there's something that's gonna happen still. Faith beyond our lifetime. I'm going to read from Hebrews 11, verse 22. Let me just read this quickly and let me pray for us as we dive into the word today. It says here in verse 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the Exodus and the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. As we just read in that verse, today we're going to look at the life of Joseph. See, Joseph, you guys might know this guy, it's Old Testament. Sometimes he's called Joseph the Dreamer. And that's because he was given this God-given ability to interpret dreams. God allowed that this guy, Joseph, could interpret his dreams or some other person's dreams. How many of us here sometimes did nakasabot sa tong damgo na to? Si Joseph had that ability. And very interesting ang life ni Joseph. He was the second youngest son of Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. And in their time, their culture, the younger you are, the least important you are in the family. If you were the firstborn, VIP kang anak. Okay, that was their culture in their time. And so Joseph, he was the second youngest. And yet, he would receive great favor from his father. And one time, he was given this awesome cloak, dangan colors. And after he received this dream that he would be great, he boasted it to his brothers. He told his brothers, na, kamo, mga kuya, muluhod muna ako one day. And in that time, in a culture where birth order was so important, nasuya ang mga brothers niya. To cut the long story short, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Eventually, through a series of events, he ended up working for the Pharaoh. He became the second most powerful man in Egypt. He worked for the Pharaoh. And God used him mightily to help the nation of Egypt as well as his own hometown because nag-famine man ang land that time. Now, I'm sharing all these things for us to have a context lang of who Joseph is once again. Just parang remind lang. But interestingly, for Joseph's life, as he was stated in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 is like the Hall of Faith na chapter. We're looking at people who exhibited great faith. And they were listed in the chapters. Sila Abraham, sila Moses, sila Noah. And interestingly, si Joseph, ang entry niya, it says here, at the end of his life, made mention of the Exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. That was it. Joseph did many things. He interpreted dreams for the Pharaoh, for different people. He moved in faith. He lived a pure and holy life. And yet, that was not mentioned here. What was mentioned, attributed to Joseph, was this thing right here. Him telling the fellow Israelites about the Exodus and telling them to carry his bones when he would die. And so that begs the question, why is this important? As we talk about the next generation and life in Joseph, why is this thing important? I'm going to share two simple things for us today, church. Firstly, Joseph demonstrated faith in God's promises for the next generation. He demonstrated faith in God's promises for the next generation. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 24 to 25, we get a bit of an extension of what was happening, why Joseph told the following instructions to the Israelites. It says here, Joseph said to his brothers, talking about fellow Jews, I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. As a Jew and as a descendant of Abraham, Joseph knew that God promised his people, the Israelites, that he was going to bring them to a promised land. Now, at this time when he was dying, they were not in that promised land. They were in Egypt. Yes, okay, sila at that time, he was the second most powerful man. They were well taken care of. But Joseph knew that was not their inheritance. That was not the promised land. And God swore to his forefathers that he was going to take them to the promised land. But because he was dying already, he could not experience it in his lifetime. So in verse 25 says here, then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. It could not happen in his lifetime, but he knew God was faithful and God would carry out his promise. That God would take out his people from Egypt and bring them to the promised land. Now, he would be dead that time. So that's why he told his people, Dala akong bones. Bring my bones with you. Joseph had this faith to believe that God's promise would come through, even though it was no longer for him now. He was going to die, but it was going to be for the next generation. He had the faith to believe that God would be faithful in bringing his people, the next generation in line now. They were the ones who were going to experience God's promise. We had the faith to do that. What's my point in sharing all this? When we talk about our dreams, our goals, relationship goals, squad goals, fitness goals, travel goals, and of course, kilay goals. We all have those goals, but the question I have for us church is that, do we think multi-generationally? When we think about goals and dreams and aspirations, do we just think of those things for ourselves? Are we just thinking of our own goals? Or are we thinking about the goals for the next generation? In other words, if I was to quote someone, advance baka mag-isip. Are you thinking ahead? Are you being futuristic? Are you thinking of the generations to come? What are your hashtag next generation goals? What goals do you want the next generation to happen? What do you want them to experience? Is there something that you want them to achieve, want them to experience? Do we have that? Or are we thinking of what we want to happen in our lives? Are we after our self-fulfillment lang? Do we consider what we want for the next generation? Joseph, even though he wanted that promise, he wanted to be in the promised land, he knew he couldn't have it, he was dying, and yet he had the faith to believe that God would fulfill his promise, even if it's for the next generation na. He set up, he prepared the next generation. He wasn't like, ay, di ko ganahan ang next generation maka-experience. Di na ko sa ingnon. Kung mamatay ko before it happens, I'm gonna bring you down with me. That didn't happen. Joseph set up the next generation. Our dreams versus God's purposes. You see, Joseph had big dreams, but at the end of the day, it all boils down to God's purposes. The Bible says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's God's purposes that prevails. Yes, we ask God, Lord, I have this dream, I have this goal, but have we asked God, Lord, what is your purpose? What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do for the people around my life? Have we ever asked God that? There will be great things that will not be achieved in our generation, church, or in our lifetime. That is why we need to prepare the next generation for it. If you're here today, maybe you're doing a victory group in your campus, in your workplace, in your communities. You're doing well, okay? You're doing something. You're reaching out to people. But if you feel frustrated, man, wala na ako na-reach out ang tibok company na ako. Wala na ako na-reach out tibok people sa campus or everyone in my neighborhood. Friends, there are some great things that will not be achieved in our lifetime, in our generation. It will take generations after us. That's why we need to prepare the next generation for it. There are some things that's so big that it's going to outlive us. Because God is a generational God. He cares about what happens after us, the people who are coming after us. So what are we doing to those people? Are we setting them up for success or are we bringing them down? Are we concerned with living for our own wants and needs lang or are we doing something for them? How many of you here today are familiar with the Hollywood Walk of Fame? The Hollywood Walk of Fame, it's for people in the Hollywood business who made it big. Names are written there like big stars. I'm sharing this because for many of us, if not all of us, we want to be the main thing in our lives. We want to be the bida in our lives. We want to experience the best all the time. We want to be the main focus of everything. We want to be the star of the show or something. But the question I have for us is our life the highlight? Do you want your life to be the highlight, the peak? It's all about you? Or do you want your life to be like a seed that's going to be planted? A seed that one day when it grows, it's going to birth a forest. Are we living for ourselves lang, church? Are we living for the generations to come, for the people who are coming after us? In the book of John, John 12, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. When we do things, not just for our own wants and needs, but when we die to our own selves, like that seed, there will be much fruit that we bear in our lives. If you're here today, you want to be fruitful in your lives, the key there is not to do things just for para lang sa imong consumption, but it's to care for others as well. Okay, just like that seed that grew into a forest. Next point I want to share is faith in God's promises through the next generation. Joseph didn't just have the faith to believe for the next generation, but he also had the faith to believe that God's promises would be fulfilled through the next generation. In Hebrews 11, verse 22, it says here, he gave directions concerning his bones. Meaning, yes, Joseph believed God was faithful, but not just that, he believed that God would fulfill his promise through this next generation people. Yet he would be able to rely on them to bring his bones. Pwede naman si Joseph, dili siya mo instruct. Eh, parang, okay, Lord, you'll fulfill your promise, but feel na ako, dili kaya sa ako mga descendants. Feel na ako, kalimtan na ako nila. Dili sa tarong nga tao na siguro by that time. So I won't instruct them, I'll just die here na lang. But that didn't happen. Joseph instructed his descendants, his people, that they were to carry his bones. Joshua 24, verse 31 to 32, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work the Lord did for Israel. And then 32, as for the bones of Joseph, when they were in the promised land, na they conquered the place. As for the bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up from Egypt, they buried them at Shechem, in the piece of land that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. It became an inheritance of the descendants of Joseph. It became an inheritance. These people were able to bring his bones, fulfill God's promise for them, and carry out Joseph's instructions. And I'm sharing this because may we see, church, the value of the next generation. I'm always seeing the value of the next generation, but do we see it? What do we feel when we look on the next generation? When we look at the students around us, when you go to Lee Plaza, Robinson's, or downtown, when you walk and you meet a student or you encounter a student, I dare you try walking in this city and di ka makitag estudyante. It's impossible. In this university town, you always see students everywhere. What do you feel when you look at the students? Do you get annoyed lang? Oy, nanap estudyante. They're everywhere. Or do you feel like, man, Lord, I want to do something with the students? Lord, may the student hear your purpose and plans for them. Do you see the value in the next generation, church? I'm going to show this image of this TV show. These two guys, they would go to places, mga garage, attic, basement, any storage area. And what they would do is that they would search for items, seemingly useless, old, abandoned items, and buy them from their owners. Because even though for the owners, parang wala lang, useless na, for them, they know that it's valuable. It can be sold at certain value. Like that old bicycle they're holding. It's old, it's rusty, doesn't have a wheel on the other end. For us, wala lang, useless na siya. But for them, they know, man, this is valuable. Collectors will buy it. People would want to restore it. It's valuable. They see the value in it. And I'm sharing this to pound the fact, church, that do we see the value in the next generation? Do we see the value in the students? High school students, senior high students, college students, even elementary to kinder, okay, students. Do we see the value in the next generation? Or are they just random people? Just another group of people you see every day. I want to share you 8 reasons why we need to reach the next generation. This is what we call the Campus Manifesto. I'm not going to explain everything in super detail, but quickly lang to remind us why we need to reach the campuses, why the next generation are important. Firstly, the future leaders of our society are in our campuses. Our future leaders, our future doctors, lawyers, who knows, even your future bosses, is right now in the campus. Our future president, our future lawmakers, the people who will run this nation, who will quote-unquote run the world years from now, are in the campuses, studying, hopefully studying, taking exams, some of them being late. Kung makita ka estudyante, take note, that person is a future leader of this nation. You might not see it yet. One of our pastors said nga, kabla mo ng NVPG, no visible potential for greatness. Even you feel like, man, wala ko yung makita ng taong for any potential, doesn't matter. That person is a future leader. There is no telling what that person is going to be like when he graduates. Maybe karon absinot pa, sipunon pa, late, walay ligo, whatever description you can throw at the person. But when that person graduates, and there's no telling, year, 5 years, 10 years from now, who knows where God is going to call that person to go. They are our future leaders. And if we want godly leaders in our nation, we need to reach the campus as church. Second, the major movements start in the campus. The major trends, movements, it all starts with the students, the campuses. Kung unsay uso sa mga estudyante, young people, it's gonna affect the other people groups. Thirdly, the majority of the people who became Christians do so as students. A lot of people who received Jesus, who got saved, who became followers of Christ, do so at a young age. This is backed up by some statistics. Secondly, international students impact their nations. We have this story of, we have a church in Nepal. The church in Nepal started because there were students, Nepali students, who went to UP, studied in UP, and then someone reached out to them. Someone invited them to a victory group, discipled them, did one-to-one with them, and went to victory and all that. And after they graduated, they went back to their nation. And when they went back to their nation, they started making disciples. They started doing victory groups and what they learned sa campus nila here in the Philippines. And eventually, we sent a missionary there, a cross-cultural missionary. We sent a team there, and eventually, we started a church in Nepal. That's how our church in Nepal started. It all started with international students. I'm remind us, church, na in Dumaguete, if you notice, there are a lot of international people. We have international people here. Some of them come, of course, for tourism, for retirement, all that, but we have international students. Some of you might have met them in their campuses. The point is, imagine if you reach out to these international students. They bring home with them the gospel. They bring home with them the good news. They go back to their nations. And who knows what God's going to do in their nation. Now, that's how some churches started. Some international students get discipled, went back home, started making disciples, and eventually it grew to a church. Next, the values on campus become the values of society. If you want to know what the values of our society will look like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, look at what our students are valuing. What they listen to, what they watch, what they like doing, whatever that is, they're going to bring that with them when they graduate. The values in the campus, whatever they value, it's going to be the values in our society years from now. So if we want godly values in our nation, in our city, we need to instill godly values in our campuses. We need to reach out our campuses. Next one, the most available trainable masses are in campuses. The most available group of people are the students. Who else is more free out there than the students? When we reach a student, we reach a family. This is an amazing story. Many people in this church, families in this church, they got connected to this church because one member in the family, and it's usually a student, a son, a daughter, got invited to the church, to a victory group, to one-to-one, to a youth service, got discipled, and eventually that person invited his or her family. And we have many stories like that. We have people who nag-serve in different ministries here, sa kids, sa ushering, sa tech, and they're all family members. If we want to reach out to families, one key thing that we need to do is to reach out to those students who will in turn invite their families. We have many examples who are like that. Last but not the least, God promised to pour out His Spirit upon His sons and daughters. God promised that He's going to pour out His Spirit to His people. Meaning God has a heart for the next generation church. God has a heart for the generations that's going to happen after us. Now I'm saying all these reasons why we need to reach the next generation. But I'm going to throw in a question for us as well. What happens if we don't disciple the next generation? What if we fail to reach out to set up the next generation? What if we fail our responsibility as the current generation to prepare the coming generation? What happens then? Well, in the story of the Israelites, we get this glimpse of what happens. In Judges chapter 2, verse 7, 10 and 11, it says here, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua." So in the time of Joshua, their current leader, and the elders who had lived Joshua, all the people were serving God. Okay na okay. They're experiencing miracles, serving God, faithful to God. And these people had seen all the great works that the Lord had done for Israel. So these people, they grew up, or they've heard when God parted the Red Sea. Remember the 10 plagues and all that, what God did to rescue us from Egypt. These people heard, seen, experienced what God did for them. And they served God. That's a pretty amazing verse to hear. Man, grabe ninga people. But in verse 10, says there in verse 10, and all that generation, all those amazing people, were gathered to their fathers, meaning they all died. Now, of course, we all die at one point in our lives. They died, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that the Lord had done for Israel. After this awesome, amazing generation who had seen, experienced, or heard about what God did for them, who served God, then came in this generation after them who did not know who God was, who did not know what God did for them. Parang wala, just like kamalay-malay. Ha? Si Lord? Unsa na, kuya? Unsa nang gipart niya ang Red Sea? Unsa gibuhat ni Lord? Ha? Ano man, kisa na siya? Unsa na siya? These people had no idea. They were not disciples. They were not reached out. No one passed on to them what God did for them or who God is. And in verse 11, this is the result of that. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. They served other gods. They committed idolatry because they didn't know who God was. They had no idea how to live right, what God intended, how God intended them to live. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord because they had no idea who God was. And friends, I'm sharing this to remind us the reality of what happens when we fail to disciple, to reach the next generation. What happened to the Israelites will happen to the generation after us. If we don't set them up to become better than us, if we don't reach out, disciple, instill godly values, they will grow up not knowing who God is, what God has done for them, and they will do evil in the sight of the Lord. Maybe in their sight, okay lang, or in the world's sight, or for popular opinion, okay lang, but in the sight of God, it is evil. And I'm sharing this for us to be aware. Our current generation now, there's so many things trying to attack and destroy God's purposes and plans for the next generation. False ideologies, concepts, trends. The world is offering them a lot of things that it looks good, it looks nice, it seems okay, but in the eyes of the Lord, it's wrong. But for them, the next generation, because some of them have no idea who God is, kagat po sila. Okay na po sila. As the older generation, as the ones ahead of them, church, we have a responsibility to reach out to disciple the next generation. Because if not, then we'll be like what happened to the Israelites. Now, I don't want us to end in a sad note. I'm going to show you as well another story of what happens when we invest in the next generation. I have a picture of Science High. And this picture was taken, I think, 2005 or 6 or something, or 2004. And that picture was taken when a group of missionaries from Hawaii, from our church in Hawaii, EN Hawaii, came to Dumaguete, did 10 days missions. At one point in their trip here, they went to Science High, meet some students, preach the gospel, share Jesus to them. And the next picture, we see here another group of students. And one of those students, kung insert ko lang ako, is actually me. Okay, when I was in high school, I'm not sharing this to brag or anything because when I was in high school, when all these things happened, I did not understand what was happening. All I know was that, uy, walay klase. Okay, okay. Diba? Ako siya ka. Bala ko sa reason. Basta walay klase. Yes, go. Walay klase. Walay exam. Walay buhaton. So, gawas with me. I was wondering, ano na yung mga Amerikano dito sa school na mo? Back then, I didn't receive Jesus. I didn't get saved. It took a while after ba. But I'm sharing this because now, I believe that those people who went there, who invested their time to be in our school, every day planted a seed in our hearts. To those people who were there, sa Science Side, I wouldn't be here now if it were not for those people who did those, who planted those seeds in us. And now, I'm sharing this another picture in Science High. This is after one of our victory groups in the school, led by one of our student leaders, nag-share sila, nag-victory group sila, and ang uba, nag-join ng picture. Nag-ahan sila picture-picture. But I'm sharing this because the work that was started there, though that time, wala pa kayong students, wala pa kayong victory group, wala kayong one-to-one, but slowly, as people invested time, availability, resources, now we're having this in our school. In this one school pa lang niya, in science. And that's not all. We have different victory groups happening in our campuses, in Silliman University, and NOHS, and NORSU. It might not happen in our lifetime when we get to see all students in our campuses in Dumaguete surrender their lives to Jesus. It's going to go beyond our lifetime. But as the generation now, what we can do is invest on the next generation. Is to think multi-generationally. Is to have faith beyond our lifetime. Just like Joseph. You see, God has a plan for the students here in our campuses, church. It's going to go beyond our own lifetime. But the good thing is, we can do something about it. We all have a role to play. You have a role to play. And you might think, Tom, I'm not a parent. I'm not a teacher. I don't work in the campus. I'm not a student. I'm not in the campus. What can I do? Sabot na ako. Yes, you might not be a student, a teacher, or a facilitator, or you're not a parent yet. But here's the thing. For all of us here today, church, there's always a next generation after you. Anyone here, you can tell me you're the youngest person in the world. Like, one of us bata pa nimo ever. No one. There's always someone younger than us. There's always someone born every day. I think every minute, a person born in the world. There's always a next generation after you. Even if you're the youngest person in this room right now, there's someone still younger than you. There are people after you. And likewise, we all have a role to play in reaching out the next generation. Whether that be your siblings, your neighbors, anaks imo mga co-workers, mga ex-sons imo mga co-workers, we all have an encounter with the next generation. There's no one here nga walay kaila nga young people. Whether you're 16 years old, you're 60 years old, you have that connection with young people. And we all have our role to play. We all can do something to reach out the next generation. For the students here, it's as simple as reaching out to your fellow peers, doing one-to-ones, victory groups, inviting them to youth service, disciple your fellow students. For those of you who are working, yes, we can still disciple the students. If you're a teacher, you're an educator, all the more, God has given you an immense responsibility because you are in the front lines of shaping the next generation, mga educators. You're in that front line to shape our nation by teaching, imparting godly values to the next generation. All of us have a role to play in reaching the next generation. I want to end with a statement, change the campus, change the world. It's not just some slogan we put there, that sounds good. Oh, chada ni pang slogan. Google rana mo somewhere, nakita na ako, change the campus, change the world. But no, we truly believe in that statement. If we want to change the world, if we want to be world changers, if we want to make an impact, change the way the world is run right now, we need to change the campus. We need to reach out the campus. We need to reach out the campus for us to change the world. And we believe it's something that all of us have a role in doing. Not just the people in full-time ministry, not just the students there, but all of us. All of us have a role to play in changing the campus and changing the world. All of us have a role to play.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.